This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 153. The last word from E3.
We promise.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And welcome to a very special episode of our podcast.
Is it that special?
It means it's a clip show.
Okay.
So that's special.
I was like, doesn't special just, isn't that our code word for clip show?
It is. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, rub your nose.
Yeah,
but since we're not on video podcast.
The only reason why it's a clip show this week, people, is because it's Panda's birthday weekend.
And also,
and I don't want to fucking work.
It's also the birthday of the nation, too.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because it's my birthday weekend, bitches.
And
happy birthday to me, 2-5. I'll admit it.
You sound as if you've already been drinking.
And I haven't because it's not, you know.
Well.
Maybe I have.
It's a possibility.
It could be.
You know what else is a good possibility?
Our website's a possibility now?
No, but that you'll find great stuff on there.
That's a definite
possibility. So make sure that you hit us up at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use a short address, which is?
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you got some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you should check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, on Monday nights at 9:30 p.m., 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. And you should also, while you're there, check out some of the really entertaining shows there, like Ultimate Quest.
Or Dead Pixel Live, where I'm often at when I'm not here.
And there's also Chatterbox with Alon.
And Evil Avatar is really cool.
You also have Ultimate Quest.
And didn't you already say them? But Video Game Outsiders, yeah. And
Xeno's on a bunch.
Love Xeno. I mean, and then there's Video Game Outsiders.
There's OLR.
And then there's, of course, Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
So there's a lot of really fun and entertaining things over there. Make sure you check them out. And if you do, name drop. Let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Because we like them knowing just how awesome we are.
You can say P-licious told you to check this shit out.
Did you just tell them to call you P-licious?
Yep.
You realize where that's going to go, right?
You know what? Because eventually I'm just going to be called P.
I don't have anything to say there. I am Lish. You're going to keep saying
anyway,
it, and I'm going to laugh when this comes back and bites you.
I know it's going to bite me in the ass.
On the internet.
But you know what? It's my birthday weekend. I don't give a fuck.
Obviously, you don't. So, get ready to kick back and enjoy some interviews that we actually did while we're roaming around the show floor, some of the audio that we captured on demos that we were given at places like Sony's booth, and even got some things from the Warner booth. So what you're about to hear, I think, is pretty entertaining, and it's always best to get information directly from the horse's mouth. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, you just called yourself a horse.
No.
Of course, of course, of course.
I called the people giving me the demos horses. Thoroughbreds.
But they're getting the information. Our listeners are getting it from your mouth, which makes you an internet horse.
No, yes, because I'm not giving the demo. Stop calling me a horse. I will bitch slap you on your birthday.
Anyway, you can count. I loved Shrek. Anyway.
I'm going to hurt you.
It was fun times at E3, and
absolutely.
Now you get to listen to some of it.
Absolutely.
We got to listen to it. We enjoyed it. Hopefully you will too.
So, without further ado, the last of the E3 informations.
We swear to God.
Audio bits and baubles for your ears, people.
Thundercats are go.
So what you're about to hear is a little bit of the walkthrough and demo that I got from the Sony booth on the Ratchet & Clank A Crack in Time demo. Now what's really interesting about this is I haven't played a Ratchet & Clank game since Up Your Arsenal, so I really didn't get into Tools of Destruction. But this demo is actually going to complete the trilogy, supposedly. So they've brought back Dr. Nefarious, and as you can hear from the demo, a lot of the things that made Up Your Arsenal a whole lot of fun and weapons that we lost in between Up Your Arsenal and now are back. So kick back and enjoy Ratchet & Clank, A Crack in Time.
So, what do you know about Ratchet? Did you guys play Tools of Destruction?
Didn't play Tools of Destruction,
okay.
But Upper Arsenal is one of my favorite games to play. It's
awesome.
Kind of my guilty pleasure game,
okay.
That I play
on
the train
all the
time.
Have to get back to.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much is.
Okay, well, that's fine. Tools of Destruction is the first game in the PS3 story arc. So this is a continuation from Quest for Booty and Tools of Destruction. There will be a whole big recap video that gets you all up to speed, so it'll be perfect for new players as well. What's happened here is Ratchet and Clank have been separated. And if Up Your Arsenal was your favorite game,
uh-huh.
One of the things you'll love about this is that our favorite villain is back. His name is Dr. Nefarious.
Nice.
And his sidekick, Lawrence, are actually responsible for the abduction of Clank. So what's happening here is Ratchet is looking for Clank, and in Quest for Booty, he found an approximate location of where he is. And along the way, in his quest to find Clank, he actually runs into an old grizzled longvax, and his name is General Azamon. Ratchet thought in Tools of Destruction that he was the last longvax in the universe, but in fact, while his species was actually sent to a different dimension, there was one outcast longvax, this guy named General Azamon. And did you see the teaser trailer that came out earlier? Okay, that was the longvax that you saw in there,
okay.
And they'll be fighting alongside each other. So I'll give you a little demo of what's coming up. With the most impossible to press start button in the world. What? How does that make sense? Okay. Glad you considered that. Okay. So, the level that we're showing today is a level called Krell Canyon.
Okay.
It's probably about 20% larger than the largest level we've ever had in a Ratchet & Clank game ever. It's huge. It's a big open battlefield level.
Nice.
On top of that, there's tons of secrets, all kinds of stuff to find. And we've got all kinds of new gadgets and weapons for you to explore and most of us. So, I'll give you a quick rundown of those. We're working off of 4th generation PlayStation 3 technology, building off of the Resistance 2 engine.
Okay.
So, if you played Resistance 2, they introduced a lot of new cool new tech features, including interactive water, self-shadowing on characters, all of that sort of thing. So, it looks great. It actually gives the characters a little bit more of a... Get a little closer here so it draws in. But you can see the characters almost have, you get that fine detail on all the edges.
Yeah.
It gives it almost a claymation look, but it's actually just self-shadowing. So we're not cel-shaded or anything. Kill this guy. This is a giant Agorian beast rider. He's one of the generals on the battlefield here, and your objective here is to take these guys out. Once you take out enough of them, they'll bring in their heavy artillery, which is the Hydrotech, which I'll show you in a little bit. As you can see there, though, it's all interactive water. This is one of our new weapons. This is called the Sonic Eruptor. It's basically like a giant frog on the end of a gun.
Nice.
It's got this meter at the top, and you can see it animating as it's breathing in air. If you get it while it's at its maximum, it'll actually let out a giant belch. It's
nice.
Really funny in 7.1 surround sound. But you can get a smaller belch out of it, too, if you don't time it quite correctly. But if you get it right, you get the really big one, and that's a lot of fun to play with. Our audio guys had a lot of fun recording the sounds for that, too.
I bet.
So, Again, this is a huge level. There's all kinds of stuff to do. One of the ways that we're giving, or one of the ways that we're allowing Ratchet to quickly travel through the level is via these, this new gadget called the Hover Boots. And what the Hover Boots do is it's kind of similar to the charge boots that we had in the past. However, the difference is that you can actually lay on the throttle on these all over the place, and you can actually keep going as long as you want. You can smash through crates, go off of jumps, like this one ahead. And you can generally just explore the environment in a very quick and agile manner. So there's all kinds of other stuff to do here. One of our new weapons is called the Cryomine Glove. If you switch to it here, you can actually freeze enemies in their tracks, like so. Throw that down. It's great for crowd control. It's also great in conjunction with our new sniper rifle archetype weapon called the Plasma Striker. If you zoom in with the Plasma Striker, it shows their weak spot, which is this red spot right here. If you hit them, it does triple damage. Now, that's a moving target most of the time if you haven't frozen them, but if you freeze them with that Cryomine, they'll be frozen in place. You'll be able to hit them right away. The game's running at 60 frames per second, which is standard for a Ratchet & Clank game. We haven't, you know, given in to the temptations of dropping down to 30 frames per second. You know, but we think that the characters, just like, you get that lifelike animation. You can really see all the fine detail on their animation, what they're doing. You know, the characters just look really vivid and alive, you know, and it really makes kind of a big difference. So, hit them with, we have some weapons that are returning back to these, the Negotiator Rocket Launcher. This is from Tools of Destruction. It has an upgraded visual effect, if you were familiar with it, but everything's more stylized. It's really kind of the direction that we're going with the art on this. And lots of destructibles, things to blow up, all that, you know, which is expected of this game. You know, you see these things blow up all over the place. We've also got a lot of other cool new stuff going on. Let me get to a safe area so I can switch you back over here. Now, you don't see, you'll notice that Clank's not on Ratchet's back. Now, like I said earlier, Ratchet and Clank have been separated. So what, let's put in this code here. You guys saw the breakout session. Did you see the Clank gameplay in the breakout sessions? Okay. So I'll give you a quick run through of that just a little bit so you can see a little bit more in depth. Again, it's more of a time style of mechanic. And this is going to be really for the entry level player as well as the experienced hardcore gamer. We want the player to be able to find challenge in it and not just breeze through it. So we'll have ramping difficulty in these puzzles. I don't know how far he went. I actually wasn't in the breakout session. I'm not sure what he showed, but it's just so much fun to just record yourself and, you know, we get into all kinds of crazy situations. There's probably about 5 or 6 different ways of solving each one of these puzzles. Yeah, this one's is a very basic puzzle, so I think there's really 1 or 2 very good ways of doing it, but I keep finding new ways of solving these puzzles, but you can just having these guys jumping around all over the place, doing stuff, it just looks cool all the time. You know, you can see yourself, you know, jumping off of ledges from different angles and everything, so you can hit the buttons, go through the door, and that's like the most basic puzzle out there. You guys can just imagine what else is out there after that. So we'll have more Clank gameplay in this game than any other previous Ratchet game. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of new stuff in this game. It's going to be the biggest Ratchet and Clank game ever. We've got lots of stuff that we're going to be announcing over the summer as well. Space exploration, all new weapons and gadgets, more stuff. Design a weapon contest winner. So awesome. I don't know if you saw that on the PlayStation blog.
I saw it on the blog. Didn't really follow a lot of information, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. We picked a winner. We're actually building it right now, and we're fabricating the real weapon for the winner.
Oh, that's
really
cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm really happy with it. So we're going to announce that at Comic-Con this year.
Fantastic.
So we'll have a big presence at Comic-Con. But did you have any other questions? Did you have any questions?
The biggest question that I had is, moving it over to the PS3, especially because I didn't play the other one, how much work really was it with all of what the PS3 could do to kind of put everything in a box and say, okay, this is what we actually can achieve without burning the daylight oil and not getting a polished game?
Yeah, you know, that was a big challenge for us, was actually getting the technology from Ratchet, getting everything, all the new systems working on the original Tools of Destruction. You know, one of the great things about Kraken Time is that we have an established engine and established gameplay archetype to start working within. So, you know, overall, it's been a great experience. We've been able to do more with this engine simply because we're building off of established technology now at this point. On Tools of Destruction, we just need to get the game up and running. Now we can really harness all that power and do everything that we've always wanted to do with it.
I had the pleasure of being treated to a demo for Heavy Rain, which is a game that I've been looking forward to for a while since it was first teased back in 2006 at E3. But Quantum Dream has actually come together and shown off a really wonderful thriller, film noir, if you're a fan of those types of games, choose your own adventure game. If you're not familiar with the title, this walkthrough would definitely help you become more familiar with it, but it basically takes four characters through telling a story. And as you know, I'm a big person about plot, and this game is all about plot. Your characters and the choices you make are integral to the story that you get. So we're actually treated to walking through in the shoes of FBI profiler Norman Jaden, who, as you can listen to in this demo, has a few monkeys he needs to get off his own back to do his job. So, Heavy Rain from Sony.
Alright, well, Heavy Rain is an evolving psychological thriller. You play four different characters, they have four different storylines. All their storylines intertwine. Any of them can die, and the story will continue.
Okay.
We have dozens of endings. So, of course, there's save points. So if your character, particular character dies in a scene, you can go back and replay it so he lives. But we hope you don't do that. Because you're creating your own story, your own movie. What you're doing is, we're taking you out of your gaming chair and putting you in a movie. You're the director, actor, writer. Imagine playing the movie Seven, or Saw, or an Alfred Hitchcock psychological thriller. All four characters have their own strengths and weaknesses. The character I'm about to introduce you to is Norman Jaden, FBI profiler. And our main goal, like I said, is to take you from here into there. And we do it by being as realistic as possible. He's got acne. I've never seen a video game character have acne. This is a real person. This is the actor who plays Norman Jaden.
That's gorgeous.
We scanned his face, we mo-capped all the scenes, everything is as realistic as possible. So the scene I'm gonna take you to is in the middle of the film. You've just gotten a lead that the serial killers had a car that came from this junkyard owned by Mad Jack. So, Norman Jaden's strength is that he's got ARI, which is Advanced Reality Interface. And what it is basically a mobile CSI unit. So rather than getting the evidence and then taking it back to the lab, we can do it in real time and on the spot. Do you guys know, did you ever play Indigo Prophecy?
Yeah, Indigo is one of my favorite games.
Okay. Quantic Dream, who did that, is doing this game.
Okay.
So there are a lot of lessons that we learned from Indigo Prophecy. One of the biggest ones was the controls and how you played the game. Because most of the time, you saw the action on the screen, but the two Simon controls, which you're trying to make sure you're doing the right movements to, you're looking at the circles and not what's going on. So what we've tried to do is make the controls as simple and as contextual as possible. So if you're trying to open up a door, that's the way you're supposed to push with your right thumbstick. The left thumbstick, well, let's get him out of the car. Norman, come on out. You move him using the R2 button. He moves his head using the left thumbstick. He will walk and he will look at points of interest to help you. So right now, he's walking and his head is pointing to Mad Jack, who's in the crane. I'm kind of sneaky kind of guy, so I could go talk to him, but I think I'd rather go to the shack first and find some clues and evidence. And one of the cool things that you see in movies and films, you always know what the character's thinking. In the movie you have, you know, narration. In a book you just have it written. We also want to know what our character is thinking. So by pressing the L2 button, that's what he's thinking about. So let's see. So we're leaving, all right. What about car? Okay. Now his weakness is he's a drug addict. So sometimes he has withdrawals. And sometimes his withdrawals happen at the wrong time. So let's see what he thinks about his withdrawal. All right. If that's true, maybe I better make sure that I have my drugs. Okay. So let's go find some evidence. Oh, the other thing too is right now he's calm, so his thoughts are slowly circling, very legible. If he's nervous, the letters will be shaking, it'll be moving much faster. So you always have a sense of how the character's feeling and what's going on. And again, it's about taking you out of the chair, putting you in. It's a mature game. There's mature situations. So we want you to identify with the character and do what you feel the character would do, but also your own morals and ethics will influence your decisions. So for instance, if you're, let's say you got any brothers and sisters? Okay, serial killer has taken one of your sisters, and he sends you a note, and he says, I want you to get in your car, there's a camera. I want you to run over 5 people at the mall. Make sure they're dead and take their picture, and your sister will live. Yeah, fair enough. But you know, so that it's one of the things we talk about is how far would you go to save the person you love. So basically, in the REN, you can look at fingerprints, DNA, tire tracks, you know, footprints. Oh, well, that's good. Well, we better go over there. Well, why don't we take a look at the acid bath?
That's not a recommended bath.
No. As we will see by that guy.
Yeah.
One of your cop buddies asking too many questions. I had to solder off the end of the mouth.
That, my friends, is the end of Mad Jack. Now, and what's interesting in this is all your actions have consequences. So during that fight scene, there were a couple of times where I missed on purpose. Because I liked, like in the very beginning, of the very beginning when you find the body in the acid bath, there's that cover you can kick back at him. If I got it right, it would have taken me to the car and I would have started fighting on the car. But I really love the big giant metal thing hitting him. So I always miss that one so I can get and hit him with that one. So all your actions have consequences, even the most minor things. You know, you may have, maybe you had a conversation with your wife and she asked you to do something and you'd say, I feel like it. She would treat you like shit the rest of the scene. And you say, sure, honey, it's going to be nice to you. So everything you do within the context of the story can change. And what we do is called rubber banding storytelling, where push the rubber band in a scene, you can push the rubber band any way you want. And without breaking the rubber band. So we're always going to take you from where we want you to go. However, but if your character dies, the storyline goes away. So we have dozens and dozens of endings. All your, you know, it's like, you lose the game. Someone asks me, I'm like, no. All 4 of your people can die, and that's your story. Your story is a tragedy, because the serial killer gets away, but that's the game.
That's awesome. Appreciate your time.
No problem. It's a pleasure. Take care.
You too. Have a good show.
All right, you too.
What do you
mean this show? I got 15 more minutes. I'm done.
As you know, Harmonix had a great showing at E3, including one of the more thought, I would have to say, investing booths on the show floor. The Abbey Road remake was really, really cute. But here is some of the sights and sounds from the demo they were giving in the booth. So definitely sit back, enjoy, and if you've got questions, make sure you shoot them to us. The Beatles Rock Band demo.
We're from Harmonix, we're the developer. MTV Games is our wonderful publisher. They put this booth together. I think they did a great job. This is Abbey Road Studio 2, recreated just for you for this demo purposes. And of course, we have Electronic Arts, our distribution partner, who are helping us get that game on the store shelves for $9,909 and Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Nintendo Wii. And we're really, really pumped. But none of it could be possible without our partners at AppleCore, who are the corporation that represents the Beatles and their estates, as well as the catalog and the vaults and archives. Without their help, they've been working with us hand in hand throughout the process. We would be nowhere without them. They've been wonderful, and their feedback and every little last detail has been run by them. And they really seem to like the game, which is great. We sort of thought it might be like, oh yeah, use our songs, whatever, but they are really into it, and they give us really detailed feedback. So hopefully you like it as much as they do. And, you know, they're the Beatles, so if they like it, you probably should too. That's our hope. So that's who we are, and who's working on the game. Why we're making this game is we want to bring the Beatles, the greatest band in the 20th century, to the greatest music gaming platform that exists out there. We think the Rock Band is, bar none, the best music game out there. And in terms of the music, yes, thank you. Woo! Indeed, woo for that. Out there you can see why we're the best music gaming platform. There's a giant 2.5-story terrifying banner that has all 700-plus songs that we have for Rock Band available, displayed for you to see. So that's a lot of music, and they've been downloaded, paid to be downloaded over 40 million times by fans. So people are really into buying new music for Rock Band and expanding their catalog, and we think that the best catalog we could possibly bring to them would be the Beatles. So we did it, and you're going to see it just now. Yes, clap. I like the smattering of golf applause, yes. Woo! I like this crowd. You guys are fun and punchy. It's pre-lunch time. It's nice. There's so many features. So you'll see 3-part vocal harmony up here. You can see right now as I'm talking to this microphone, my meter's moving, which is a pretty cool little thing. You'll see a lot of our new technology for Dreamscapes, which we'll talk about at the end of the demo, and the hardware as well. We'll talk about it as we go on. Moving right into this, though, you can see that Eric is, because he has mild ADD, is toggling the no-fail mode on our screen on and off, because that is now in the matchmaking screen. No-fail mode is a great feature from Rock Band 2 that we brought in there. Make sure that people can finish a song without crashing their band. And if you've played ever at a party with someone who's never played Rock Band before, or at a party where there's alcohol, or if you came to our party last night, you know how useful no-fail mode can be. So we wanted to really bring to the Beatles Rock Band. We think we have a lot of new gamers out there. And we want to make sure that they can have a good experience. So we got the core music gamers who want to get new music. We have new music gamers who love the Beatles but maybe have never played a guitar together. And our dream is that these people will play together and have a great time singing 3-part vocal harmony and rocking out on the Beatles. And without further ado, let's jump into our first song, which is I Saw Her Standing There. Yes, I didn't mess it up. And that is going to take place in the Cavern Club. Also true. 2 for 2 on the truths. And we're going to show you 3-part harmony. This is the Cavern Club. It's our first historical venue. There's 5 of those in the game. We've recreated these with every detail using archival footage, really working our butts off to make sure this looks great. So we hope you enjoy it. This is I Saw Her Standing There by, I think it's the Beatles. bows that time. The band has been debating whether or not to bow at the end of the songs. There's still contention about that. I think we're going to try it now. But yes, there's some crowd opinion. That's good. So this is our new results screen. It's similar to Rock Band 2. It looks a little similar in terms of layout. But you see under the vocals, this one had two-part harmony in it, the song. And it says 18 of 18 double fabs in that little pulsing yellow line. And that's double fabs are our double harmonies. Triple fabs are our triple harmonies. And if we switch it to advanced vocal results with the back button, thank you, Eric, you'll see that each of us have our part broken out with which line we sang and the percentage we hit of that part overall in the song. So that way, since you're not assigned a vocal part, you can jump back and forth between melody and harmony at will. It lets you know, I was trying to sing orange the whole time, but whoops, I sang blue for like a couple bars. So if you're playing and singing, you can't watch the screen for your immediate results. This gives you some details so you can get into it later. We think that's really great. We're psyched about that. Let's get into our next song, and we'll talk a little bit about the hardware while we're doing that. John, whose strap fell off, which is not his fault, is playing the Gretsch, George Harrison Gretsch duo jet guitar. It looks sick. It's really, really pretty. There's a real Gretsch on stage, like, right there, which is pretty cool. They look pretty similar. That's the guitar that George played at the Cavern Club, which you might have just seen, as well as in the early part of the Beatles' career. He also played it later on in his solo career, so it's one of his sort of iconic and favorite guitars. Over there, Eric Pope is holding the currently battery-less Rickenbacker 325 John Lennon guitar, which he played on the debut at the Ed Sullivan stage. And so he's going to back away creepily now, because that seems like a good plan. And all the way on the right side of the stage, Sean is playing the Hofner bass, which Sir Paul McCartney is known for and still plays today. So that's pretty awesome. Over here is the Ringo Starr drum kit, which Alex has displayed terribly. And that has a pearl... sorry, dude. Has a pearl finish on the outside, which Ringo's known for, as well as a kick shield, which is the Beatles with the Beatles on the front of it. It's Ludwig branded and has white drum heads with black dots. We're not going to lie to you. The feature set for these controllers are very similar to Rock Band 2, and you should feel free to use your existing controllers. Like, we'd love for you to buy the new hardware. We think it's aesthetically superior to anything we've ever done before. It's absolutely fantastic. But at the same time, we want you to be able to use the existing plastic you already have. So if you already have a full band that you're happy with in terms of instruments, you don't have to buy new instruments to play our game. It's all backwards compatible. As well as, these instruments are going to be compatible with Rock Band and Rock Band 2. So if you choose to buy the Gretsch or the Rickenbacker or the Hofner or the drums, just because they look awesome, they will work with the older games in our franchise, Rock Band and Rock Band 2. And we assume that other music games will work with this as well. We're all about compatibility. We think that buying extra plastic is sort of silly, but we like to make it because it's also really pretty. So that's happening. Let's talk really quickly about accessibility and DLC before we jump in to the next song, which is going to be Day Tripper. Accessibility is our big design touchstone for this game. We want to make sure that anyone can jump right in and play the Beatles Rock Band. We have a lot of music fans who are hardcore, who've never touched a controller before, who start by playing a rhythm game. We want to encourage that through the process. So you saw our no-fail toggle. Talk about vocal harmonies. Vocal harmonies are constructive, not destructive. So if you hit a harmony, it adds to your points, but if you miss a harmony, it doesn't hurt your score. You stood at 100%. Which is great when you have someone who thinks that they're helping, but they're actually tone deaf. You know, one of those in our party as well, so you know who you were. So that's really great. We also have easy difficulty throughout the entire game. It's now automatically no fail. So if you're in the middle of a session and your mom wants to jump in and play bass, and she's playing on easy because it's the easiest entry point for her, she also now won't fail your song even if she's that bad on easy bass, which is great. We think that's a really good way to kind of keep the flow going at a party or when you have friends coming over to check out the game for the first time. And last but not least, we have a great campaign mode in the game called Story Mode, which goes in chronological order through the Beatles campaign and through their career. And usually our campaign mode unlocks songs in quick play. But we realized since it's in chronological order, that would mean in quick play on day one when you get the disc, you can only play the Cavern Club and nothing else, and that's not really what we're about. We want you to have the full Beatles experience with all your friends right out of the box if you want it. So quick play now has all 45 songs unlocked automatically when you put the disc in. We think that's a great thing. So you can still play the Story Mode and progress through the campaign and learn a lot about the Beatles and what's going on. But you don't have to do that in order to play their entire catalog from the Cavern Club to the rooftop concert. And we're going to show you some more of that in a little bit. The next venue is in Budokan, yes? Japan. But before we do that, DLC. 45 great songs on the disc. We already announced Abbey Road, the album, coming as full album DLC to the Beatles Rock Band right after launch. So we're thrilled about that. It's probably my favorite Beatles record of all time. And you can play through it as an album in the Beatles Rock Band, which is great. And we've also announced a single, All You Need Is Love, is going to be out right after launch on exclusively on Xbox 360. And for a limited window, all the proceeds from that track sale are going to go to Doctors Without Borders, which we think is a great cause. AppleCord and MTV Games came together and found a charity they were both really, really enthused about, and we've decided to give the proceeds from this great song to some people who need it. So we're thrilled for gamers to give back this fall after the launch of the game. This is our second song, Day Tripper. You may have seen this in the Microsoft press briefing. We will try not to screw it up. And we're going to try it right now. This is Budokan from 1966 World Tour. Lots more screaming girls and crowd shots. Check that out while we're watching. Go ahead and start it. There, oh my God, look at them. They're so excited. So we have Budokan, which you saw the Cavern Club, which kicks everything off in Liverpool. We have Shea Stadium, we have the Ed Sullivan Theater, and we have the Rooftop Concert, which sort of ends the career and is a little separate from the rest of the live venues. But the Beatles' career was very much in two parts. It was when they were the biggest live band in the world, which is what you've just seen, Screaming Girls, Mop Tops, and all that good stuff. Then in 1966, they sort of retreated into Abbey Road Studio 2, which is where we find ourselves today, sort of. They started making the iconic records that define music basically since then, like for generations to come. And because of that, we wanted to make sure we included those sort of iconic, perfect albums in the game in some way. So we've added a ton of songs. This one is going to be I Am the Walrus. Oh, God. I Am the Walrus, which is one of my favorite songs and one of the best Dreamscapes we have. But we didn't want to put them into the live venues. It would feel weird to play I Am the Walrus, which is very much a studio recording in Shea Stadium in front of screaming fans rushing the stage. It looks weird, it feels weird, we didn't like it. And we don't do things we don't like. So instead, we came up with this new plan called Dreamscapes. And our art and design team came together and came up with this great concept that you start off in Abbey Road Studio 2 as the band playing the instruments they play on that recording, and then suddenly as the song goes on, you transition into these crazy imaginary worlds with the imagery of the Beatles associated with that song tied into it. So in this case, there's some psychedelia, there's some frightening animal masks. Hopefully you enjoy them. This song, I actually screamed out loud the first time I saw this because it's really wonderful and pretty, but it also scares the pants off of me. There's also great ones like Here Comes the Sun, which is a hillside, sort of a sunny hillside. There's Octopus's Garden, which is an underwater venue. So all these are really fantastic new ways of looking at venues. There's not a crowd, there's not like a stage with lighting. It's the four Beatles playing together as the Fab Four, really getting inside the music in the way that we hope fans get inside the music for the first time and enjoying themselves. So we're really, really proud of these. Please watch the background animation. Try to avoid watching the notes, because you can watch the note highways out there when you're playing them for yourselves, but right now you get to watch our art team do what they do best, which is make these crazy worlds. So this is I Am the Walrus. If you're scared, it's okay to scream.
Can't make any bones about this one, guys. One of my more favorites from the show floor. My interview with Josh Randall, the creative director at Harmonix, in charge of working on the Beatles Rock Band game. I had the pleasure of sitting down with him for a few minutes and just kind of asking some of the questions that came off the top of my head about the Beatles Rock Band game. So, without further ado, get your guitars out now. Here's my Beatles Rock Band interview.
My first question, literally it's right there.
Is that Mike that way or that?
Right there.
Oh, Sarah, okay, cool.
Yep.
Sorry.
So my first question is, how did the idea come about? I mean, because there's a lot of music fans, but what really made you guys go, we've got to do this?
All right. Well, I mean, it's been a dream of ours for years and years to be able to work with the Beatles. And the way it came about was actually Danny Harrison was like a big fan of our earlier games. And so he actually had a meeting with Alex Spragopoulos, our CEO. And a meeting, they started talking and scheming, and they're like, yeah, we should actually do this. And it's sort of just like, you know, the more people we told about the idea, people got more excited, and here we are today.
That's awesome. Now, there are a lot of songs that, over the course of the life of the game, that are going to appear.
Yeah.
Initially, we're talking about
45
on the disc, and then Abbey Road coming out immediately afterwards. Yeah. What was the idea or the thinking behind that? Why was Abbey Road the first one that you guys wanted to do as DLC?
I think that, I think that, you know, it's such an iconic, I mean, they're all such iconic albums, right? You know, and so I think that with that one, you know, it was just sort of like, yeah, let's go with this. I don't think there was, you know, it was like there's a ton to work with there, and so I think it was just like, yeah, that's a good one. Let's try that one first.
Now, the artwork is definitely distinctive from any other Rock Band game that you've had before.
Oh, yeah.
How much time and how much effort and really thinking about the mode that you wanted to get across did you spend on that?
A lot of time and effort. I mean, like, this was really like a labor of love for us. Like, we really wanted to get this right. And you know, like, our big, you know, challenge was that, like, wow, we have to make avatars of these people that absolutely everyone in the world knows exactly how they move, you know, how they look, you know, how they look when they sing, what they do, you know, when they smile, like, all that stuff. And so we really had to come up with a look that sort of like, you know, made sure that it was true to those guys, but also not too weird and robot-y and not too rock band-y, you know. And so we spent a ton of time actually sitting, you know, with the band and with Appleport and just sort of showing them sketches and showing them models and just kind of picking out, like, you know, like the right direction to go in. And then, you know, like, Apple was really like, you know, they were like, really like, you guys need to do something new. Like, you need to, like, don't rehash all the old stuff. Like, come up with something new. And so we took that to heart and really just tried to, like, you know, come up with a bunch of new, like, the Dreamscapes. That's, like, a brand new thing for Rock Band games. And that really just seemed like to make the most sense for this game, where it's, like, since the guys were in Abbey Road Studio, it's, like, you know, you want to sort of go on a journey based on their music, you know, so.
Are we going to get to play on the rooftop?
Yes. So, yeah.
Personal hero moment for myself.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool to hear. Now, in talking about new things and things that are different about this game from other Rock Band titles, the three-part harmony is definitely something that's new and adds a big layer of difficulty. What was the thinking behind that, and besides getting the whole Beatle feel?
Right, well, I think originally the idea was that we really wanted to get, like, sort of everyone in the room, like, participating in the game, you know? So we were like, oh, well, we had extra microphones, people could just be, if you're not, you know, if you're just sitting in the background, you can actually just pick up the mic and sing along, you know? Because we did find it in Rock Band, when we play together at the office, there's, like, always, like, just people, you know, in the room that are just, like, singing along. So, like, oh, well, let's mic them up. So, but then we realized that, like, one of the big signature things about this band is their beautiful, you know, three-part harmonies. And so we decided, like, all right, let's actually turn this into a game element. And so we spent a ton of time just, like, iterating, where, like, we would meet every morning and sort of, like, do a bunch of tweaks and really figure out, like, all right, how do we make this in a way that, like, how do you teach people how to sing in harmony? It's really tricky, actually, you know? And so I think that we did, a good job where, like, if you want, you can just sing, you know, the regular lead line, and that's fine. But if you want to go for vocal harmony, there is that challenge. And we actually help you in sort of the training mode, where you can actually go in and listen to, like, the different notes for the different, like, harmony lines. And you can actually practice that way and then come back to the real game when you're ready to, like, show off your skills.
Kind of like the drum trainer to get your foot ready and all that kind of stuff. That's really neat. One of the things that's really been kind of burning on my mind is, how did you come up with which instruments you were going to add? Because there were lots of rumors about if you were to do a Beatles game, would it be strictly guitar and drum? Would you find a way to work out a piano?
Because
there's so many different songs that involve that.
Yeah.
So what was the final process of best game to bring to market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, we decided in the end that it was, like, best to sort of stick with, like, what we've been doing in Rock Band, because it just works so well. And, but, you know, in this game, you're not, like, particularly playing, like, one of the guys that's sort of like, I'm going to play the guitar line, you know, or I'm going to play the bass, because they did switch, you know, certain songs. It's like, you know, Paul's playing guitar, or, you know, or, like, George is playing bass now, and stuff like that. So, so we just thought that that was going to be the formula that would work, and I'm glad we went with that decision. So.
I'm really interested in that, too. So, my last question, and then I'll let you go, because I know you got a lot to do and a lot of talking to do.
Yep.
With three-part harmony and the introduction of new-looking peripherals and things like that, how many of these things are you guys thinking about bringing forward into other Rock Band titles down the road?
Oh, you mean like taking features from this and putting I don't know. Like, I haven't gotten that far yet. I think that, you know, if, like, vocal harmonies is successful, you know, I think we'll probably, like all of our other stuff, we'll sort of continue to, like, develop that, you know? But, who knows what the future holds.
The Warner booth had a lot of interesting things to show off this year, with things like Scribblenauts, and even the Lord of the Rings Aragorn's Tale game looked really interesting, both on the Wii and on the DS. But the big draw in their booth was none other than Batman Arkham Asylum, and I got a few minutes to actually walk in the path of Batman, while Pandalicious will tell you she got to play the Joker, and really kind of get into the mechanics of the game. So, here's my time with Batman Arkham Asylum.
Hi. You wanna play? First walk me through it, and then probably play some. So we're gonna do the story mode. They spliced together key elements of the game into one, like, weekly story mode, just to give you an overview of what the game's like. So you can skip the cinematic. So, you know the premise of the story?
Yeah.
Joker's getting brought in right now.
Joker in Bay City.
He breaks out.
Ladies and maidens, I apologize for the interruption to your regular...
When you combat, you want to reflow combat from character to character.
You get your power up.
And when you see a little lightning bolt above them, you hit the Y button to do a counter. So. Symbolize the XP points in your game.
From lacking conventional facility, with a combined sense of
sentiment, you hold on the green finger gun. Up on the rafters up there, there are gargoyles that you're going to actually be able to grapple to. So look up at the gargoyle. And tap LB. Yep, turn on your detective mode. That's a switch up. Yep, right there. So you're going to want to take out Dr. Zazz right here. So you want to grapple from each gargoyle to gargoyle so you're behind him so you can sneak up on him. Because if he spots you, you fail the mission. Sorry, now if you push X to glide kick. And hold that upright trigger Y to do a takedown move.
Someone put this animal back in his cell.
take out those guards, the left arm. Sorry, somebody inverted the aim, so it's taking me forever. Is there something for me to grapple over here?
Okay,
or?
So go over here and try and grapple to that one right there. Push E to glide down. Go through that way, go left, and then go forward. Go right. Up behind him and do a silent takedown. Wait, is that a bad guy? Wait, turn off your invisible hunter. Oh no.
No, good guy.
Good guy.
This demo happened almost purposefully on accident, but I'm glad that it did. I've been walking around the Codemasters booth for a while, checking out some of the games that they had there, and I'm not going to lie, I was looking at the Dirt Girls. They were kind of dirty, and they had on short shorts. And I backed into Operation Flashpoint 2 Dragon Rising, which is a first-person tactical military game for the PS3, Xbox 360, and PC, which is a follow-up to Operation Flashpoint that was on the PC. That got to spend about, a nice chunk of time, I'll say, with one of the game's developers walking through the demo. And here's what he had to say about Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising.
Okay, so Flashpoint is set on the island of Skira. It's a fictional island, it doesn't exist. But the island exists near Alaska. We took it, we moved it, we put it in Russia, basically, for our needs. The reason for that was because we wanted to use satellite data and metadata to recreate the island. So the island is going to look fairly realistic, and for that very reason, we used it. Operation Flashpoint is a tactical shooter, and unlike all the other games you're going to see on the show floor that are shooters, so unlike any other shooters, this is not linear, this is not a tunnel-based shooter. Yeah. So the idea is you get given an objective, you're told to assault this place, you can do it 360 degrees. It is, it's a complete sandbox. It's a massive sandbox game. To give you an idea of scale, it's 220 square kilometers, the game area. That doesn't sound, I mean, that's huge. But to give you an idea, I'll show you in a second.
Go ahead.
What I'll do is I'll show you a bit, and then you can have some hands on. I'm going to check one thing, because I don't know who's been playing on this before. Okay, so I'm going to try and demo it. I'm going to demo it without God mode on. So I apologise if I die, because talking to you guys and playing can be quite hard. There we go. This is the demo island. So the demo island is going to be what everyone gets to play on PlayStation Network, on 360 Marketplace, about a month before the game comes out, something like that. People will be able to download it. The final mission, or this mission that you play, is basically the first mission that you play in the actual campaign. You're playing a Spec Ops guy, and he's got three other fire team members. Again, this is one of the key things about tactical shooting. These guys, you rely on these guys, keep you alive, they rely on you to keep them alive. They also rely on you to be smart, just some good orders. The AI is very intelligent, but it's not stupid. If I send them in to a firefight, and they start taking hits, and, it's all looking bad and it looks like it was a bad decision on your part, they're going to tell you, they're going to say, I'm bugging out of this, you know. Yeah. And it's a M-rated game, so swearing and stuff. Yeah, this is one of the problems. It's the thing. I don't know about you guys, I play it with not inverted.
Same here.
Okay. So, as you saw, these guys are they're my lifeline, and I'm theirs. You can do basic things, you know, to move and stuff. They'll move in formation. There's other things, there's all sorts of different tactical things, formation, spread. All these things you're going to see here were lifted directly from the USMC training manual, military training manual. So the game is authentic. It's very authentic, very real. Obviously, we had to tweak realism on certain points because, you know, there's certain things you can't do with the controller. So I'm going to tell the full back with me. To give you an idea of scale, so this is a massive sandbox game, but, you know, 220 square kilometers. We're currently playing on easy, we've got all these things on. For the guys who were the original Flashpoint fans who like really hardcore games, if you play on hard, the game is exactly the same. So the AI is the same, the damage is the same. We don't fudge anything, we don't do anything, you know, like give you hit points or extra hit points or anything like that. The only difference is we take things away. So it's more of a realistic thing, but with the same, it's the same game. Okay, so we're going to stop here now. Move away from this spot. So we've got to take this out, but there's going to be some guys around.
Rifle, 100 meters south. Same.
Do you guys have a release time frame?
Okay, it's fall 2009 on Xbox, PS3 and PC, simultaneous release. This game, we love it, but one of the other things we noticed was, and we noticed with Left 4 Dead, co-op makes a game, a great game, even better. And this game has fully, you can play the entire campaign, 4-player co-op, so you and your fire team, you and your buddies. So it's gonna be, it's fun playing with the AI, but then when you get to order your friends around...
Is that offline and online, or just online?
No, it's both, so system link, or, through a hub or router.
Is it, jump in, jump out, so I guess somebody leaves, AI automatically takes over for a person who just left, or...
Yes, it will.
So we're not affected, like, if someone has the team take off,
one's down.
Or in the middle of a mission, someone can jump in?
No, there's no... If people drop and lose connection, the AI will take over. But they can't just jump back in again.
So do you have to wait until after a mission, or do you have to start a whole new game?
You'd have to wait till the end of the mission.
Okay.
And there is over 30 vehicles, PLA and USMC. Over 30. Helicopters, boats, jeeps, tanks, APCs. You've got over 60 weapons as well. All authentically recreated. So what I'm going to do is call in artillery barrage on. So these are, this is an enemy. Don't do it here. You're going to see very big explosions. They're not the biggest in the game. The biggest is the JDAM, 2,000-pound JDAM, big bomb. We're going to have that in this demo, so you're going to see this go off.
Rifle.
Nice explosions, kill all the people. Soften them up, then I can run in and kill them.
One's down. Follow me.
All right, well, that's it. I'm happy to say I think that this is probably the end of our E3 stuffs. I hope you enjoyed some of the insights and some of the things we were able to grab a hold of for you. I know we had a ball recording them, or at least I know I had a ball recording all of my stuff for this show. If you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. As we've said before, the short address bounces you to the long one, so you can read the posts that we write up in the week. You can also shoot us your questions if they have to do about video games or stuff you just want to know from us. The email address is questions@esh.mobi. And if you have some things where you want to talk business or you want to get to know us or find out who you should send your goodies to, you can hit us up at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. Both of those addresses do hit all of us, so make sure that you take advantage of them. Who knows, we may read your questions right here on air. If you're not catching our podcast in iTunes, you can find us there in the podcast directory. If you are also looking for some other great shows to listen to, you can bounce over to the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, and catch episodes of our podcast airing there on Monday nights at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. When you're there, make sure that, you know, you stop in maybe a little bit early and catch some shows like Dead Pixel Live or Video Game Outsiders. OLR's over there, so is Evil Avatar, showing off some of their stuff. And you can't forget Ultimate Quest. So when you're there, if you bounce into chat or check out any of the other shows and fall in love, make sure that you let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Because we did, and we like getting credit. I'm not saying that we get brownie points or anything, but I like brownie points, people. So this podcast is, in fact, toast at this point. And I think I'm just going to have to take my toast, put a little butter on it, maybe sprinkle a little bit of brown sugar, and enjoy it for the evening. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista, and we are out of here.